God is beautiful. God makes beautiful things. As I was standing out here today, I read in the previous chapter how God watches over the sparrows, not one of them falls to the ground. And I was in the living room this morning eating some breakfast and watching the animals out there. And the bluebirds were out there taking... I have a bird feeder out there, and they were going out there and scratching the feet out of there, and it's falling on the ground, and then the doves would fly down and eat it, and the bluebirds would fly down there and do some more, and they get some on the ground, and they were just playing together out there like children. Just God's creation, so beautiful. Now in the 11th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, Katamathion, I wanted to start these Bible reading messages because we just don't read the Bible enough. And if I read every book in the Bible, and if I read these books and expounded on them just a sum, that you would be exposed to the Word of God, which is wonderful. This is our rule of faith and practice, remember. Now, verse number 1 here actually should be part of chapter 10, and I should have read it in the last one. And it came about that when Jesus had finished giving instructions to his 12 disciples, he departed from there to teach and preach the cities. Now, the chapters and verses are not inspired. I want you to understand that chapters and verses in the Bible are not inspired. The Bible is inspired, but not the chapters and verses. And here's one example that we had in the last one. Now, Jesus was telling his disciples to go out and to depend on others to take care of them. And it gave us a great instruction on how to take care of God's messengers and God's people, to provide for them today even. Jesus said, the workman is worthy of his hire. He works, yes, absolutely. And then it ends up, that chapter said, whosoever in the name of a disciple gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water to drink, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. And then, and here, it starts out, and. That's part of verse number 42, or else it's verse number 43. And it came about that when Jesus had finished giving instruction to his 12 disciples, he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. Now we start a new chapter, we're going to have a lot of breaks here in going to different subjects, but we start another subject. That subject there, this and there, that's in conjunction. It should have been part of chapter 10. Verse number 2 now, in chapter 11. Now when John in prison heard of the works of Christ, he sent word by his disciples. Now, John had disciples. Some of John's disciples did not follow Jesus. They were supposed to. He said, he must increase, I must decrease. I am the one pointing you to him. I am not the one. And so now his disciples said to Jesus, are you the coming one, or shall we look for someone else? Now, before John died, he wanted to know that the Messiah had come, that he had done what he's supposed to. Now, he heard all of these things, but now he wants his disciples are going to come to him, and they're going to ask Jesus a plank answer. Are you the Messiah, or shall we look for another? And he said to him, are you the coming one, or shall we look for someone else? And Jesus answered and said this to them, go and report to John the things which you have heard and seen. Jesus' undeniable messianic credentials. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. These are all quotes from the Old Testament. This is what Jesus would do, Isaiah 35, etc., etc. And blessed is he who keeps from stumbling over me. Don't stumble over who I am. just the works that I do. I am He. I am Messiah. He told the woman at the well, that the Samaritan, He said, I am the one. I am Messiah. And then she went and told everybody, and the whole city just came out to Him. And these were going away, and Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, what did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? A reed that's shaken by the wind, it will go north, south, east, and west. You never know which way the reed's going to go. John wasn't like that. John had one purpose. Nothing around him mattered but that purpose. But what did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? No, not a Pharisee, not a scribe, not a priest. Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' palaces. That's right. Those who are in soft clothing and fancy clothes are up there in Washington, D.C., or in the Kremlin. They're someplace in leadership. The workers, the ones with calluses on their hands, are different people. Behold, you go out to see a man dressed in clothing, soft clothing. The ones dressed in soft clothing are in king's palaces. But why do you go out? To see a prophet? Yes. Yes, I tell you. And one that is more than a prophet. This is He to whom it is written, behold, I shall send my messenger before your face. He's talking, Jehovah is God is talking to Jehovah, said, I'm going to send my messenger before your face, before you go. Now, the messenger was supposed to go out. The king is coming. When the king was coming into a land, they would have whole work crews go out there, and the road the king was going to travel on, they would make it smooth. They would take all the ruts out of it. They would make it safe and smooth for the king. And then when the king would come, they would have heralds before the king saying, the king is coming, the king is coming. And that's what John the Baptist was. He was a herald. Behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare the way before you. Malachi 3 and 1. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there is not one risen greater than John the Baptist, and yet he is least, and the kingdom of heaven is greater than he, because he was not part of the bride. And John did not seek salvation. John was born saved. He had the Spirit of God from his mother's own womb. We don't have that, people. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. Always the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, hasn't it? And the kingdom of heaven was going to suffer violence for all the way from the time the conception of the Lord's church all the way down to the trail of blood. And we see all of these doctrines of hell coming up. Celibacy, transubstantiation, saint image worship, indulgences, purgatory, infant baptism. All of these were doctrines of serpents, doctrines of devils. Auricular confession, the Inquisition, the Bible is forbidden. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence. The kingdom of heaven was suffering violence then because the messenger had come forth. He spoke forth. He was arrested by Herod, put in prison for what we might say keeping, and then his wife treats her daughter to act like a prostitute and dance, and that Herod was so excited that he said, I'll give you anything up to half of my kingdom. What do you want? The head of John the Baptist on a plate. Herod was sad, but he had to do it. The kingdom of heaven suffered violence when Jesus was born. Herod the Great wanted his life. God had to take his son down in Egypt to protect him there until Herod was dead. The people that flocked around Jesus and his ministry, some believed and some hated him. They stumbled over him. the leadership of Israel stumbled over him, and they condemned, they damned their own people, their own nation. By AD 70, Jerusalem was being torn apart and leveled. All because of the people that called themselves the Sakari, the Zealots, that camped there in Herod's fortress. And the 10th Roman Legion had to build a causeway up there, a ramp all the way up there, and they were going to kill every one of them because they were out assassins slitting people's throats, the dagger men. Some of those escaped and went down and established Sicily, the Sicarii, Sicily. And blessed is he who comes from the stumbling block over me. And these were going away. Jesus began to speak to the multitudes concerning John. What did you go out to see? A reed? What? He said, truly I say among you, these born women, these are not risen any greater than John the Baptist, yet he shall be least, and the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and violent men have taken it by force. Church history, people. Church history. Even in America, Baptists suffered here in this country. The right of religious freedom was bought with blood. For all the prophets and the law and the prophets were unto John. The law and the prophets were unto John. Those people out there in Seventh-day Adventists and all this kind of stuff, the law and the prophets were until John. The law and the prophets were until John. Until John, the law was done away when Jesus fulfilled the law. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you could accept it, he himself is Elijah who was to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace who call out to the other children. Now these are kids playing. You've seen kids play, almost all of you have. Not like they did in earlier days. Now they play with their thumbs in a little box. But they used to play with each other out there. Now they play. You go see a bunch of kids sitting around in a circle, and they won't be talking to each other. They'll be going like this. Like that. If evolution was really right, which it isn't, the next generation will be born with thumbs only. And say, we played the flute, but you did not dance. We played the flute. Now, they would go out and like they were dancing and dances. They had dances, they had funerals, and they had weddings. And they said, here, we play, and you won't dance. You don't cooperate. You're obstinate. And we sang the dirge, the funeral, but you did not mourn. You won't mourn with kids, would play. You know, the big things back in this period of time was weddings and funerals. And you don't want to play with either one. You don't want to play with us. You got to play by your own rules. You only dance to your own music. For John came neither eating or drinking, and then they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say that, behold, he's a gluttonous man and a drunkard, and a friend of tax gatherers and sinners. Yet wisdom is made right, or set straight, or set right by her deeds. You people won't touch a sinner, a leper, or anything. The Son of God touched these and healed them. He healed the sinners. And he healed the sinners' hearts, and he healed the sinners' bodies. He raised the dead. He sat there and he drank with the common man, with sinners, with tax collectors. Remember when he came up to that sycamore tree there, that fig, or what we might call now a mulberry tree in Jericho, and there was a guy up there because he was so short. And he said, Zacchaeus, come down from there. I'm going to have dinner with you today. The first thing Zacchaeus said, I'm a sinner. The first thing Zacchaeus said, he didn't say, look at me. I'm without sin. He didn't say, the Pharisee stood on the corner saying, I thank God that I'm made a woman. I thank God I wasn't made a Gentile. I thank God that I do this, I do that. Zacchaeus didn't say that. He said, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. I need to be forgiven. I want to make amends for what I've done. Wisdom is vindicated by her deed, by her works. Verse number 20, and then he began, and he kept on reproaching the cities in which most of his miracles were done because they did not repent. The synagogue didn't repent. They wanted to have him killed. He spoke in that synagogue in Nazareth, and they looked for a chance to stone him to death because he said, I am Messiah. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles had occurred in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Nevertheless, I say to you, it shall be more tolerable in Tyre for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. You are judged by what light you have. People ask sometimes, down in South America, down in the darkest points of Africa, what about those people who never heard the gospel? God, they will be judged by what light they had. Jesus said it right here. Romans, the first chapter, John said it too. Not John, but Paul. Romans, the first chapter. And you, Capernaum, that's blessed home, kafar in the home is what it means, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You shall descend to Hades if forth the miracles and occurred in Sodom, it occurred in you, it would have remained to this day. Nevertheless, I say to you, that it should be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. Now Jesus begins to pray. Jesus begins to pray and he thanks his Father for all those that have believed. To all those that have repented. Let's look at this few verses. At that time Jesus answered and said, I praise ye, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. This is how it starts, the blessing over the bread and the wine. Lord of heaven and earth, you did hide these things from the wise and intelligent and did reveal them to babies. To children. Most of those children were infidels, unbelievers. But when they heard the truth, they ran to it. Yes, Father, for thus it is well pleasing in your sight. And all things have been handed over to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. And anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Jews had made religion a heavy thing. You know, when you're born again, religion is not a heavy thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's a journey. It is a vacation from the world. Oh, come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and I am humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. My yoke, what is a yoke? That's a harness. That's a harness. You know, when we're born again, we were put in a harness. God's harness. We're in God's army. We're in God's harness. We're walking and plodding, and joyfully walking and plodding. Joyfully serving the Lord. Always joyfully serving the Lord. Asking God to bless what we do with our hands for you. So many times I've gone places. Marilyn and I used to go on a vacation, and I'd pray before we went on vacation, Lord, let us be a blessing to somebody today. And you know what? God would open doors. He does. Have you prayed that prayer? God, Father, help me be a blessing to somebody today. Help me to touch people's hearts and souls with your word. Please help me do that. Our Father, we send this message out for your honor and glory. I pray that you might use it among God's people, wherever they are in the world. Your children, your babes. Nurture them with your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this message through Matthew. Please forgive me where I fail you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.